Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One alive, one dead, one fictional. It's up to you who you choose, you pick them all. It's up to you who you choose, you pick them all. Who you having? Make it who you wish. This is your dinner party, and it's your guest list.
Hello, welcome to episode 2 of Guest List with Jake Lambert, the podcast where I interview comedians to find out who would be their perfect dinner party guests. But they can only pick 3. One has to be alive, one has to be dead, and one has to be fictional. Thank you for downloading, and thanks for all your messages and your retweets and your emails and reviews and star ratings and subscribing. Thank you for everything. It's been lovely. I've had a great week for the first week of the podcast. A few things to get through admin-wise. We've had some emails, which I am going to go through now as we go. Right, okay. So a couple of emails. Some of the people, if you want to write in, by the way, it is guestlistwithjake@gmail.com. So last week, the idea was people could send in their ideas for a reason to write in, which you've done. First one here says, hi, Jake, I'll go first. How did you know that was going to be first? It was the first email. And I don't know how you knew that. Hi, Jake, I'll go first. I had dinner with Tobey Maguire in Toronto. I was speaking to a guy in a diner and thought he seemed familiar. After he left, I realised it was Tobey Maguire. He left a $5 tip. to the point. thanks. I've got questions, but I haven't read it back. Sorry. I should have done that before I recorded this. Okay. Thanks. I guess that is what we asked for. So you just, yeah, to the point. I'm glad my guests are a little bit more chatty than that, but that was it. No idea of what they spoke about. It was a diner, so I assume $5 is good. And there we go. Lovely. Here we go. We've got another one here. Right. Hey, Jake. Love the podcast. Thank you. I thought of a write-in. We write to you with one which can... Oh, sorry. Hold on. We write to you with one which can either be alive, dead, or fictional, and you pick the best each week. That's the podcast. Have you listened? That's the podcast, isn't it? We write to you with one which can either be alive, dead, or fictional, and you pick the best each week. Oh, sorry, they continued. Okay, sorry, that's my fault. But instead of best, it's the worst. I.e., Donald Trump would be a terrible dinner party guest because he'd spend all his time tweeting. He's literally been banned from Twitter, so he wouldn't, but... This email's aged terribly. I think he was even banned before the last episode went out. But also, probably not the worst thing he would do at the dinner party. If I was somewhere with Donald Trump and he spent all his time on his phone, I think that would be ideal. Right. So people write in each week with their worst ones, and I pick the worst one. Right, okay, that could work. Yeah, that's nice. So you people pitch who they think would be the worst dinner party, so it can be alive, dead, or fictional. Okay, yeah, pest list, we'll call it. If you want to write in with the worst, then they'll sort of be, imagine when we're booking this dinner party, they're going to be down in the cellar. So, right, okay, let's do pest list. So you can either email me, guestlistwithjake@gmail.com, with who you think would be the worst, and or tweet me, hashtag pest list. We can do that if you like. Lovely. And the guest on this week's podcast is Paul McCaffrey, who is one of my favourite comedians. He's somebody who I was a fan of before I started, and now he's a friend of mine. He's done Live at the Apollo. He was on the British version of Impractical Jokers. He did Russell Howard's Good News. And he's opened for some of the country's biggest acts. He opens for Kevin Bridges. He opens for Sean Locke. And he's just a very funny man. He's one of the few comedians who, and I mean this in a nice way, the audience are laughing sort of before he started. Sort of the Mickey Flanagan-esque style of comedy where they've just got funny bones. And he's brilliant, and you'll love him, and this was a great episode. And one of his guests, actually, interestingly, I'd never even heard of. So it's a good listen. I hope you enjoy it. Remember to get in touch, subscribe, and enjoy. Here is Paul McCaffrey. I'm going to hit record, because I think it's best to mention it rather than just happening.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I do like it. Just
so do you edit these, or...?
Nah, just go straight out live. Nah, yeah, I edit.
you're on Facebook Live now. Anyone you want to say hello to?
Yeah, no, I'll edit it down. I don't know, we'll record forever long it takes, but I'm aiming for like 45-minute episodes.
Okay.
I've only had one out with Sean, but I assume that one was about 50 minutes. But obviously the aim is to have them all around the same time. Because you don't want something one to come out that's 20 minutes long and realise you just had a shocker.
Oh, God. The pressure is on now. If I start to dry up at about 18 minutes, I'm going to have to just start thinking of... I'll start reading from a book.
That is... I was going to say it to you the other day when we were doing the build-up for Always Be Comedy.
Yes.
We were... what was that, last Thursday?
It was. I only know because I invoiced for it this morning. It was Wednesday, the 6th of January. I'm not Rain Man. That was Jake. I can't believe you've forgotten. That was 8:15 on Tuesday, September the 23rd, 2012.
Although I am, it's a crass thing to say, known for the old date memory thing.
I have to say, I am quite food. So whatever gig I'm driving to, I'll remember, like, oh, that's nice. Oh. Cheese and crackers at this gig.
Yeah.
And also lineups. So like, yes. Like, oh, when, do you remember when we did that gig in summertime? Like, oh, yeah, it was me, you, Henry Packer.
Oh, yes. I might have finally realised you were my kindred spirit. I was going back on tour with Kerry Godleman, and Flo even sent me the spreadsheet with all the gigs we'd done and said, Kerry wants to remember which ones of these she liked. And if you can help, what food we... And I put every meal we had and what we got and where we got the food.
I could definitely do that.
It was
even
great.
Even weird details, like sort of certain art centres, you get like an odd brand of tea bag or like weird water. Yeah. Just like, really weird.
I like the Tunbridge Wells gig. You get the rum and raisin ice cream.
Lovely. Well, they've started doing a chicken... I don't know if you've done it since it's gone outdoors. You get like a chicken curry, although they do sort of try and get you to pay for it, but I just pulled it up. Sorry, I haven't got any cash on me. Maneuver.
I got lucky, actually. I got lucky with a few of the outdoor gigs in the summer. Every time I went to one, the weather was so bad, they moved us inside.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I actually think... Because I thought, why aren't we just doing this anyway then, if we can? I did one gig in... Is it Crawley? Apparently they've got an amphitheatre outside or something.
Oh, but yes.
I got there, it was me, Susie and Joel, and they just moved us inside. So we just had everyone socially distanced in the theatre bit.
Everyone's just going, I can't believe I didn't think of this sooner. We're just like, everyone back inside. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I did that Tunbridge Wells one, and the weather was bad, so they just moved us inside.
Oh, really? Oh, I did do it inside. I did it twice. I did it once when it was outside, and then we sort of combined it and made a holiday of it because my wife had the Friday off work. So she's like, what are we going to do? I was like, I've just put a gig in. So we found a campsite. It was hard work finding a campsite because obviously everyone was just camping this summer.
Yeah.
We found one. And I was just like, this is one of the best places I've ever been. And then it was basically just a field and a wooden shower block. And I'm like, is this the best place I've ever been, or is this just... Not
a tough
my
year.
House. Yeah, exactly. This is just not the four walls of your house. God, what a place. Look at this. It's like old airstrip with some sort of like, yeah. I've stopped selling eggs for £5 a dozen. Stale bread. A copy of The Sun from fucking June 2017.
There's a campsite down near Brighton, which I've stayed at a few times when I've been gigging. They've got like a helicopter and a plane that you can camp or you can sleep in these things.
Well, I've stayed somewhere like that when I did Best of all, actually. There's a crescent. And it was amazing. You've got your own sort of private beach, and a lot of the plots there are old train carriages.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So the annoying thing was, you sort of got there and it was like, every day you sort of get up to go to the festival and go, quite like it here, actually.
Yeah.
Drinking wine, sort of cooking some food and stuff. But yeah, no, it's, well, that sounds cool. But you would go down there to do gigs, and then you would also sort of combine a little kind of trip out of it.
Yeah. And I'd just camp down there. Do Comedia.
Do they not give you a hotel?
Can I have the cash for this? I'm trying to cover my breakfast in the morning.
The thing is, I bet there are people that do that.
Oh, yeah.
Can I get the cash equivalent? I'm gonna actually sleep on the beach. But, I mean, I would bet good money that at some point someone has done that.
Either done that or tried to sell the fact that the hotel room is booked on eBay.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, like the guest pass to a festival. You know, when you do a festival gig. So I know quite a few people that have done that and sold the guest pass they've got. If you want to become a ticket tout for the morning. Especially if you've already done your gig. Hold on a minute, mate. I saw you in the comedy tent yesterday. You were shit. Oh, man, I've had some rough old gigs at festivals. Did I do that? Oh, were you at that one in Chelmsford where the PA was picking up the local cab firm?
Yeah.
Literally like something off Phoenix Nights. Just did another joke that got absolutely nothing then heard. Anyone free for a pickup at Tesco's?
Yeah, the comedian.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Oh, man.
That's what I was going to say to you, because we had that gig and I wanted to mention that. Because actually what's quite nice about these gigs is when you log on an hour early just to do the mic check and everything, not being backstage. But it's nice, isn't it, to get a bit of that again.
Conversely, when they end, you are very much just back in your house. especially if they sort of quite unceremoniously just end the gig. You know, like, you're sort of like, thanks very much. You're like, this meeting was ended by host. You're like, okay. Oh, man.
That's a lovely record collection you've got there as well.
It's all right, isn't it? It goes quite along up and along as well, yeah. It's I've been collecting records since I was about 12.
I was just quite into it. And it was, so I've got a Roberts one from John Lewis.
All right, nice.
And then I've got Fleetwood. I've only got a few, but because of lockdown.
That was what you put on Instagram, Fleetwood.
Yeah. I haven't been able to go to the and look. I've always wanted to be able to do
tell
that.
Tell you what, this is the thing. When I'm away, that's my thing. If I don't play around the golf, sometimes I'll do that. If there's someone else on the bill that plays golf, but like, I know Cardiff. There's an amazing one. It's a bit of a drive out, so like I'll go out with another comic, go and get a bit of lunch, and go to this place called B Vinyl. It is incredible. It's this old dude in there. Piles of records. There's a few of them. There's one in Nottingham that's really good. It's Rob's Records in Nottingham, D Vinyl in Cardiff, where it's just, there's no, some of them are kind of ordered, but most of it is just like you move a pile, there's another pile. And I remember being in there once and a guy came in saying, "Hey, mate, you got any UB40? And he goes, "No." And then I came across the largest collection of UB40 I've ever seen. The guy's got no idea. I was in there looking for... sometimes I'll have something in my mind that I'm looking for a copy of. So I wanted to get Ocean Rain by Echo and the Bunnymen. Same thing.
Yeah.
Said, "Have you got that?" I said, "Oh, we haven't had a copy of that for about 5 years." And then just found a pristine copy of it. But it's really good on a Saturday afternoon. It's sort of like, you know, get up, kill a couple of hours around lunch and sort of go and just dig through. Stockton. That's probably the best one.
Yeah.
Sound It Out. Yeah. There was a documentary on them on Channel 4. And that So Pete Vincent will occasionally sort of message me saying, "Oh, are you ready for another trip to Sound It Out?" That's kind of like, well, should we put a weekend in? So, yeah.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've just been doing it online. Not quite the same, is it?
What, Discogs?
I've been on Juno.
All right, yeah.
Do you know that one?
Discogs is good. Yeah, I do. Discogs. Yeah. Discogs is kind of, it's almost like an eBay search people. And that's something I've meant to do in lockdown, because I tell you what I keep doing now. I keep buying duplicate copies of things that I'd forgotten I owned. I've done that about five or six times. I'm like, oh, wait, I've been looking for this. After slagging off the bloke in D-Vinyl, I do exactly the same thing. But you could, what you could do on Discogs is you can catalogue your own collection. So basically what it says on there is it's got how many people have got a copy of whatever the record is, how many people are looking for it. It also tells you what is the most the record has sold for, what is the least it's sold for, what is the median. It tells you all of this. It's fucking incredible. And it tells you all the different versions of it that are in existence. You know, if it's been reissued.
Great. I've got, what have I got? I've got Fleetwood Mac. I've got, do you know Jackson C. Frank? He's,
I don't think I do.
Really interesting guy to seek out. His Wikipedia page is quite, it's quite bleak, to be honest. He had quite a sad life, but he only did one album.
Often the Way.
Is it?
Yeah.
I've found a lot of those. Yeah. Paul Simon produced it. But his song, I only found him because they used one of his songs in the Joker soundtrack.
Oh, right.
And I've got Vampire Weekends. Brilliant. And Shea Baker, which is like an old sort of jazz.
Chet Baker. I think so. I'm not a huge jazz aficionado, but I think it was a...
I've never known how to say it. Yeah, I'm probably thinking of Che Guevara. Haven't got any of his albums. I've heard he's great, though.
Oh God! That I mean, there's me laughing. I just put it into the contacts on my phone. I think I'm trying to Google whether it's Chet Baker.
I don't think I've got his number.
I might know how to spell his name, but yeah, it's Chet Baker. Is it the
that's the guy,
trumpeter.
Shows what I know.
Died in 1988. God.
Blimey.
They were all sort of, I can't speak for Chet and I don't want to speak ill of the dead, but kind of notoriously, a lot of heroin in the jazz sort of.
Yeah. Like. He got beaten up one night, but they knocked out the teeth that you need to play. So he couldn't, you know, I think it's called lipping.
I think I've heard this actually. Yeah.
And he had to get his jaw realigned just so he could play again.
Oh, wow.
But he died fell out of, they can't tell if either he was high and he fell out of his hotel room or he was lost his key trying to climb to get in, but either way he fell and just died. So I think I think in Amsterdam there's a shrine for him outside the hotel. Yeah,
I'll tell you what's a good documentary to watch, the Ginger Baker documentary. He's a sort of drummer. He was in Cream, he's in Hawkrin for a little bit, but it's called Beware of Mr. Baker. And he died, I think, was it last year that he died? He died fairly recently and it was back up. I think it was on iPlayer, but that is an incredible documentary.
Oh, brilliant. Making a note. Lovely.
Yeah.
Right, we should move swiftly on with some of the reason we're here.
Yep.
But it's been a bit more highbrow than I was expecting. No offence.
What? You can't half an hour in fucking drop that bomb on me. I have to be honest. I did not expect to be discussing jazz musicians from the... I can't even say it. Musicians.
Well, I couldn't even say his name. Yeah, I love Shea Baker. But I am...
all the big ones.
Yeah, Miles Davis.
Amazing.
I did you find it difficult choosing your choosing this?
Choosing what? It's an ambiguous question. You didn't point it at the screen. Did you find it difficult choosing this? It was just
this outfit.
It was just the hand I was dealt, mate, to be honest with you. I had very little say in
that. Hairdresser's been shut for a while.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. It's just my face, mate. It wasn't an option.
I don't know how to sort of word the podcast, but did you have trouble choosing your selection for your perfect guest list?
Well, no, not really, actually. Oh. I mean, they are... It's that sort of thing where when you get asked any question like this, you sort of like, your immediate response is to go for something a bit kind of different and out there. And then actually you sort of go like, I think it's more interesting to sort of go, who would I actually...
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like when people are asked what their first record they bought was.
Yeah.
You know, what the first record they bought was. Yes, so if you get that sentence correct, make me sound like... So what people ask what their first record were bought were. But yes, so I found it fairly easy once I went, right, who would you actually? And also got my mind out of the gutter. Probably Jamie Lee Curtis from Trading Places. Fictional Jessica Rabbit. just a fleeting thought, but yeah. No. In answer to your question, I found it pretty easy.
So what we do is, what I do on the podcast is I've done a little thing where I've made a prediction for each one in this gold envelope.
Oh, that's good. I bet I know who you've got for my live one, and I bet it's not right.
Terrible
start. With L?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right, well, okay.
Because I spoke to Sean earlier, and he guessed that would be...
Oh, okay.
I could see why someone would think that. I don't think he'd be a great dinner guest.
Yeah.
I want to go for a pint with him.
Yeah.
If Liam Gallagher is who you've guessed.
Yeah. Lionel Richie. No, I am.
That is it.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll start with your first guess then, which we already know. Usually we say that for the end, but we already know that I've got that one wrong. So we'll start with your first one then. Who have you gone for? Yeah.
So live.
Alive, sorry.
So I'm going to go for Johnny Vaughan.
Really?
Yeah. Well, just because I listen to it when we're sort of gigging normally. That his radio show is on Radio X from 4 till 7, which I listen to, you know, religiously. And he's just so funny.
He is, isn't it? And you've done a lot of work with Sean Locke. Sean Locke says,
yes,
doesn't he?
And they're best mates. And he obviously always said that he thinks he's the funniest person he knows. And I totally agree. If you listen to that radio show, you'd probably edit it together. And that would be, on any given day where he's just coming in and doing a radio show, would be better than most Edinburgh shows. He's like...
Yeah.
It's so
funny,
like,
for one.
The amount of times... there is that. But like, you know, I'll be driving along pissing myself laughing. It's intelligent, and it's just, I find him...
And they just seem so easy, his little observations. He did
incredible.
One of... I remember being in the car once listening to him, and he was talking about those bags for life, how, you know, you're encouraged to have one of those bags for life. And he goes, but they're just thicker plastic, which means it's going to take even longer.
What to compose when you do actually
decompose.
I mean, exactly. Just the, where he goes with like things.
Yeah.
You know, and also it's like he's obviously highly intelligent. Like he's operating at a very high level.
Yeah.
But also really silly. I mean, I don't know, like he does a feature on Friday afternoons where every Friday they pretend that the airwaves get sort of like hijacked by this radio show that's being broadcast out of a Lincolnshire airbase. And this is two sort of mulleted rock sort of DJs. And it's been going on for ages and it's so stupid, but it's just the fact that they commit to it and how much they make each other laugh with it. They sort of talk about the events. I just find him absolutely hilarious. And actually, Sean told me that he really tried to encourage him to do stand-up once, and he got him to go out to, I believe, like Holland or Norway or something like that. He went out there and he had 4 dates, so he said, why don't you come out and support me? And he said by the end of it, he was actually sort of getting good at it, but I just don't
know
why. Really interested in doing it. But yeah.
Have you met him?
I've been in Radio X when he's sort of come in and
right.
Been a bit like, kind of, oh, but no, I've never met him. He's one of those people, I don't know. I think he's probably quite intimidating without unintentionally. I'm sure he's, I think he's just so intelligent and so kind of such a force.
I love that choice.
That said, I don't know if I actually want him at my dinner party anymore. But you know, like the idea of, I just think, you know, it'd be so entertaining.
That's a great shout. And he is, you're right. That's such a good choice because as much as you said, obviously you're a huge fan of Liam Gallagher. As a guest, you want him on a good day. Otherwise, that's going to be an absolute nightmare, isn't it?
I think that's a pint, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's one of those people where I've kind of been quite lucky over the years where you've heard, and you have with the job we do and stuff like that. I've kind of met a few people that I've kind of admired and stuff like that. And sometimes I prefer just being a fan.
Yeah.
I'm not going to become mates with him. It's just sort of like, it could only... I don't know.
And it's interesting, I don't know if you found this, how quickly in your mind they go from superstar to just someone. Yeah. Instantly, as soon as I've met somebody, that it's just that you see them on a level and then you just, I never see them. So even now, if I'm like watching TV and someone that I've met is on there, I don't think, blimey, I know them and they know me. Like, no. I just, you just, they're just,
I know,
that person.
You quite quickly get over that sort of doing this, don't you? And it is.
Yeah.
And I think that's sort of, you know, I can remember Noel Gallagher saying a while ago that sort of that's what's happened now with music, the way it is with kind of how accessible people are with social media and stuff like that. When David Bowie was around, people thought he came from space. There was no sort of DVD extras or, like, you know, Insta Lives or podcast. It was just like, it was the music and the image.
So it's easy
for him to sort of reinvent himself and kind of, you know, play these sort of characters, Ziggy Stardust and stuff like that, because you didn't know that much about him. Obviously, you'd heard the kind of legends of him sort of living on peppers and milk and cocaine or whatever, but when you've seen someone like it, certainly for us, a comic, and you've sort of seen them in an arena or and then you sort of, like, you know, spend a car journey with them and they're going, oh, I can't have fucking almonds or whatever. But do you know what I mean?
It's just It goes so quickly.
Well, you want him sort of turning up with I've got a bottle of wine, I brought a dessert. You're like, what?
As you were.
I want you to, exactly. I want you to be asked to put that fag out because you can't smoke indoors anymore. You know? But not in my house.
Have you met him?
I have, actually, yeah. I was in an Oasis video.
Were you?
Yeah, I was in the video for Lila. Years ago, before I started doing comedy, a girl I know was working on it. So me and my mate got to go. You can see us, but it was like a masked ball. I don't know if you remember the video. It's them playing. It was their first single back after a kind of little break. Is it on Hayden Chemistry, that? Or no? I don't believe the truth. Can't remember. Anyway, but and it was filmed at... it's a church in Hackney. It's been used for a couple of sort of things like that. But anyway, yeah, so we went and I took... I don't know where it is. I've got my What's the Story Morning Glory signed by him and...
oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
Because I've kind of heard a lot of people I know who have met them both or have worked with them both and stuff like that saying Liam's unbelievably friendly and Noel is completely opposite. And just in that small snapshot, you go like, oh, yeah, that is exactly...
Oh, really?
Yeah, because my mate got Noel... I got Liam to sign the things and my mate got Noel to sign the things. We both took our albums with us and
yeah.
When Noel was signing it, he goes to my mate, hold that, he had a can of Red Stripe that he was drinking and my mate put it under his arm and he sort of took the thing and obviously he's a bit nervous, so he walked off and he went, oi, like, give me my beer back. He's like, hey, surely you're not going to begrudge someone half a can of fucking Red Stripe. I was definitely starstruck when I met him. It was like,
yeah.
Because we just walked in and it was that sort of thing, because it literally... The day before, the girl was like, oh, do you want to come and be in this video? We're looking for people, and I know you're a big fan. I was like, yeah, definitely. So we sort of turned up, and I walked in. I was like, oh, I wonder if we'll see him. And the second we walked in, he was there. I was like, yeah. I was just like, you're right, mate. You're looking forward to this. He's like, fucking buzzing, mate. Yeah. I was just like, oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
I'll send it to you. I've got a
picture. Oh, really?
I've got a picture of me and him. I am pulling the worst face. That's cool. And I'm going.
Like a kid at Disneyland.
Yeah, exactly that.
That's amazing. I was going to say, I think the only people I'd be starstruck by now after having met people like we can in this job would be footballers.
Yes.
Because to me, that'll never change. I mean, I remember just seeing once Beckham just filming something across the street and it just blew my mind. And I knew I wouldn't be able to talk if I went and met him. Because I was there when he scored that free kick against Greece.
Wow.
So to me, it's just a god.
I mean, yeah, this is such an unbelievably name-droppy section, but I've met him a couple of times. And I'll tell you what really struck me about him. I know, exactly.
Oh, is this because of Wayne?
Yeah, so I met him. Yeah. So I went out to the Euros in Portugal in 2004. We were going back to the hotel afterwards. So they had a reception for the sort of friends and family after every game. And I can remember the first time I saw sort of Beckham just being struck by what a geezer he was. Because I think at the time, it was, you know, I can't remember if Spitting Image was still on them, but certainly the kind of, the public perception of him was like, oh, you know, the sort of squeaky voice.
Yeah.
He was sent up as being a bit like, and then you see him and he starts swaggering around. You go like, I mean, he's an incredibly good looking, fantastic footballer that grew up in East London. Of course he's going to be a bit of a, you know,
right. Yeah.
What are you expecting this bloke to turn up and go, hello, it's just like David Beckham.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
We're going to move on to your second choice now. I've made my prediction. We'll save that for the end. But enlighten us. Who have you chosen for your option for your dead guest at your dinner party?
Right. So, again, I don't think you'll have got this. So, for my dead guest, I've gone for Andrew Weatherall, who sadly died earlier this year and is another person. Oh. So, I don't know if you're aware of him. He was a DJ, producer. He produced Screamadelica by Primal Scream. Someone that I've been a fan of for a long, 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 long time. And also someone who there was a period where, like, I would go to a lot of nights that he would run in London. So I don't know whether this is in my head, but you sort of go like, I'd feel like there would be a look where he would kind of recognise me from being at the things so much.
Oh,
like
amazing.
A super fan, but I never actually spoke to him. And
okay.
I don't know now, sort of like, because there was a huge outpouring on social media when he passed away in February. So like a hugely influential guy, like really funny, very cool, like just like a very stylish guy, just sort of like,
yeah,
he's worked with everyone. I just sort of feel like that now. I kind of have read so much about people saying sort of what an open and warm guy he was and how kind of daunting it was when they first met him and actually how nice he was. I'm like, oh, I wish I'd spoken to him.
Oh, you'd approached him, yeah.
Yeah, I just kind of, there was definitely moments. So he was playing at Bestival 1 year and I don't, did you ever do Bestival?
No, I've never done it.
Right, so basically, when you would go there, like, there would be like an artist liaison, and they take you down in like a golf buggy, and like, sort of like you'd quite have to be waiting around with bands, and they'd all ferry you over to the camp.
Right, yeah.
Like, you know, when you do a sort of festival, and one time he was sort of there, and we were there, and I was like, I should have just gone over.
Yeah,
no,
right.
Because at that point, I could have said, "Oh, I'm a comic, I'm a huge fan, I'm coming to see you later, or whatever." I would have just liked to have had that
bit of interaction.
And, you know, just so sort of like an encyclopedic knowledge of music. He used to do a radio show on NTS radio every month, which I would listen to. And I just learned so much about music from him over the years. I just think it would be, I think I'd be chatting to him till about six in the morning. Obviously, this is my, I sort of set the rules here. So like, you know,
you're not going to
get up after 10 minutes and go, this dinner party's not for me. You know, like if these are my dream dinner guests and I get it to go the way that I want it to go, there's just so much I'd like to sort of speak to him about and ask him.
And is there much on him sort of, I'll be honest, I recognise the name, but I won't know him anywhere.
Yeah, no, it's one of those sort
near
of
like I should.
You know, if you know who he is, quite, like he has a very sort of obsessive, he's not quite a cult figure, but yeah, he sort of called himself the classic underachiever because people used to say,
okay.
But he was just not really career minded. And, you know, he was constantly sort of changing what he did. And so,
right.
You know, so like sometimes he'd play a rockabilly set, sometimes he'd play a dub reggae set, you know, he was fucking cool.
Oh, wow. How old was he then?
He was 56.
Oh, bloody hell.
So not, you know, not old.
And
suddenly a pulmonary aneurysm, is that what they call it? Yeah.
Oh, I'm not the one to ask.
And that was in February. That was just before.
Yeah.
I've never cried as much as an adult man. They had a tribute show on Six Music the following Sunday. Tom Robinson did a tribute show. And I was like, oh, man, I can't. I actually texted him and he read out my text.
Love that. I don't know. I don't know if there's anybody that would, that could affect me like that. That's amazing. Although I'll tell you what did happen. Me and my dad only really text each other either about Tottenham or when like, a celebrity's died. we'll just text the name. But when I was in Australia year before last, I woke up one morning, obviously all the time difference there, I forgot that Tottenham were playing, and he just texted me saying Harry Kane. And I felt like the blood rushed from my body. I felt like, oh my God, and then realised what had happened.
It scored.
It scored against Liverpool, yeah.
No, well, it's, I mean, you say that, so actually on the morning that Weatherall died, Susie McCabe, the great comic. Yeah. So I just had a DM on Instagram, on Twitter or wherever it was, saying like, mate, Andy Weatherall. And he would do a regular night in Glasgow, which I'd been to a few times. Oh, I would kind of like book weekends around where he was playing sometimes and stuff like that. So I just assumed that she had just been to his night in Glasgow.
Oh.
So I replied going, amazing, isn't he? Have you been to Alphos? And then I did that and then went on to Twitter, because that was like I'd just seen that before. I'd sort of had a look on there that day or whatever. And then I just saw and I was like, oh, shit, I've just seen what you mean. What, I couldn't believe it. But I think it was also, I think the reason it hit me so much is because it was such a big part of my youth. I don't know, it was kind of more... I was really sad that he died, but it was also sort of like, oh, just the thought that you'll never see him again. And it was tied in with, so I just, you know, that September, which was not even 6 months prior to that, been over and had one of the best weekends of my life. I'll never see him again. If you go on my Instagram on the day that he died, that was what I did that day. So I just went through my collection and got every, record that he had done a production on or a remix on and kind of put them out, and it was like over 100 records that I've got that he's had a hand on somehow. So it's just like, yeah,
it's quite nice. I've got things to go and look up after this.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's become an education.
Yeah. There's loads of good stuff to look at with him. Like,
yeah,
brilliant,
lovely. We'll move on. Third choice. What I've known from people is that this is the toughest one. Even when I came up with the idea of this podcast,
it's an absolute no-brainer for me. This.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh right. Okay. Go on.
I'm surprised. Have you guessed this one?
I've guessed it. Yeah. I've got the other two terribly wrong, but we'll deal with that at the end. Yeah. Go on. Who have you gone with?
I've gone with David Brent.
Oh. I'm wrong, and we'll go through it at the end and I'll explain why. But that was my initial first thought for who you'd go with.
Oh, really? It would have to be.
And you know what? Paul and I, we've recently just been on a podcast called Out of Office Podcast, which is all about the office. And they asked you a question on there, which was about which of them would you like to sort of actually meet? And you almost seemed surprised that it wouldn't be, of course, David Friend. And they were sort of going a bit like, you know, what it'd actually be like. But that's absolutely incredible.
It would just be, you know, if it was actual David Brent at a dinner party at your house.
It would be incredible.
Yeah, so we've got a guitar with him. Just like, there's just so many, for so many reasons, it would be incredible.
It's such an obvious choice when you think about it, about how amazing that would be.
Yes,
like, I'm coming up, so you better get this. Exactly. Come on. How did you discover it?
A friend of mine, Troy, I was working in an office at the time, like selling amazing recruitment training. And he was working in an office at the hospital, like an old schoolmate. And he was just like, he saw the first episode and he said, you've got to watch this thing. It's amazing. And so I caught the second episode.
Right.
And it was just like, and then as I said on that thing, they then showed it again straight away afterwards. It was a break. So it kind of ended on BBC Two and then I think it moved straight to BBC One and they just went again. It was, oh man.
Because it was me and my dad just played football on a Monday. And I remember my mum and I discovering it, just watching TV and it coming on. And I think for 2 weeks at least, us not knowing whether it was real or not, we just couldn't figure it out because
you know, I will say I had at that point seen Christopher Guest's films, which is obviously like a huge influence.
Yeah,
but I just, no one had ever seen it, like just everything tonally, the color of it, the music, you know, the road sign, which, I mean, obviously you're from that way, so you'll have seen that road sign countless times. You know,
it's just, yeah, that roundabout.
In fun, to go back, Johnny Vaughan talks about it, you know, and he sort of says, like, he sort of says, I don't like Ricky Gervais, but I love The Office. And he sort of said, so because it is about... it's about Britain. I mean, it's just...
But what's so good is the concept is amazing.
Yeah. And it's fucking funny and it's jokes. Really quotable. Yeah, it is. But it is also, there is, you know, I said this on that podcast and again, probably makes everybody wanky, but it thematically, it is so sort of like truthful and honest and like there's so many elements to it which are sort of actually, you know, there's pathos and there is kind of unrequited love and sort of it's...
Yeah. What's handled so well, I spoke about this on that podcast, my favourite episode is the quiz. Because just the behaviour of everybody at a quiz is just, it's just perfect. It's absolutely perfect. Man. It's the, when you know the answer, letting everyone know you know the answer without giving them the answer, everything, getting annoyed, getting the questions not being right for you. It's amazing.
And yeah, just like the Finchy, the sort of university of life, and just all, you know. It is, how often do you sort of rewatch it, do you think?
I would say I had to stop when I first started stand up because I was trying so hard to suddenly not sound like David Brent and Ricky Gervais, which in the end, it was Sean Locke, to go back to him, who, when I gig with him, he said, you know who you sound like, don't you? And I sort of hadn't thought, and he went, Ricky Gervais. And I said, "Oh yeah, I tried sort of not to." And then we just discussed it actually that night. And we were talking about how I should actually lean into it because, you know, producers and that, they would see it in a way to go, "Oh, he's like a young Gervais."
Yeah.
So actually, it's an easy thing to box. We discussed that, but our problem is, it's hard to do it on stage, isn't it? To obviously because you look like you're just imitating him, but it's just my voice is quite like that anyway. I just had to try and move away. But now, I reckon, at least once a year, I'll sit down and go through them all. Yeah, easy. And then Christmas specials.
Yes. Oh, every Christmas specials. Let's just stop saying, I think I said it on the other podcast. I watched that. This was first year this year. And I don't know whether it's because of the context of like the pandemic or whatever, but it really made me a bit sad because I was... a young man at that time, so like hearing that music and sort of like it's aged really well, I think. It, you know, a lot better than some stuff, but it was like, oh man, that's long ago now. Have you thought about if you got to do celebrity mastermind, what would your specialist subject be?
I'd actually do James Dean.
Oh really?
Yeah. Well, easily, he only did 3 films as well, which is a bit easier.
Always good, yeah.
Less
I think I'd do Back to the Future.
Well, we'll get onto that in a minute. If we we can move on to what I predicted. I think Alive, Liam Gallagher. I think anybody, as you said, Sean Walsh predicted that's what you'd go for, right?
I know, and I think this is a sort of, it's not a bone of contention for me, because it's fine, and I am, you know, I kind of dress, or have dressed in a way that kind of people would think, but, sorry, I'm going to sound like such a wanker saying this, but just kind of my musical sort of influence and kind of, you know, what I have been into over the years is so much more than that, and just sort of like, it represents... I don't listen to Oasis that much even, really. You know, I'll always go and see them live. And I do love them. And there was definitely a period of time, sort of 95 to probably 99, where they were easily my favourite. But I get it. And I think people, I think if you asked 100 people, 95 of them would guess that as well.
Yeah. But I guess it's a bit like when you sort of support a football team and their top player won't necessarily be your favourite.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That won't be the obvious choice. You'll have someone you've got your own connection with that's going to be stronger. And that's fair. And as you said, you've met him.
Again, I'd love to go for a pint with him, but I just don't know.
Yeah, right. I'd like to see him with David Brent, to be honest.
Did he? Well, Noel did Free Love, didn't he?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Noel actually lives quite near here, you know.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, he lives about 5 miles away.
I'm surprised he's not friendlier, because I remember when he used to do Russell Brand's radio show, he always seemed a bit, he sort of was happy to sort of play the Carl Pilkington role, I felt. You know, the sort of, well, I don't want to say, I was going to say stupid northerner, but that's not what I think they all are. But that's the role he was, because it's similar to Carl.
I tell you what, that was incredible, those shows they used to do.
It was. I remember that was the first podcast I listened to.
They were really, and I think it was so well defined and sort of like, you know, they would rib each other. You know, kind of, the dynamic between those two particularly, I have to say, and then I think Matt Morgan was just kind of a little bit of a sort of buffer between the two, wasn't he? But like,
yeah,
the way Russell used to sort of take the piss out of what Noel had achieved and what he represented, and also the other way, like,
yeah, it was phenomenal.
Yeah. It was good.
I did think that your choices would be
a bit more obvious than they were.
Musical.
I could guess who you've gone with here, but then.
Oh, who do you reckon?
I was going to say it's got a bit like Inception. I think you would have gone for John Lennon.
No, I went for David Bowie.
Okay, that would have been someone who would have been in consideration, definitely.
He'll be
delighted to know.
He'd be like to be on the subs bench.
Yeah, exactly. He can rest easy now.
The reason I went for, now we've got to do this fictional, I went for Marty McFly.
Yes.
Because do you remember you and I doing the gig in Belfast?
Yes.
In 2015.
Yep.
And that was on October the 20th, 2015.
Oh, so yes, that's right. Was Back to the Future Day.
Yeah, and you were hosting the screening.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So they showed, and I'd always, unfortunately, I couldn't do it, so I had to go. But I'd always said that one time, that's one, I'm not hugely one, you know, the horror all-nighters or whatever at the Prince Charles Theatre, show all of the, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street or whatever. That is one where I go like, one day I will do that and I will sit down and I will watch. For whatever reason, did I do it then? I didn't. I'm sure I had to leave before the end, but yeah, I'd love to sit down and watch those the whole way through.
Yeah.
They were both on one and two. I mean, the three's all right. It's not, but like one and two are absolute classics. And that was on quite a bit over Christmas. So I think I watched
three's,
three times.
Three's good if you're a fan, you just want a little bit more.
Yeah.
That's all it is, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah.
What have you got to do? It's part of the format. Yep. I'm choosing. I'm building my ultimate dinner party.
Okay.
So what you have to do is choose. Well, I have to choose one with your help for who we're going to pick for the to come. So only one can come to the ultimate dinner party. You'll be there as well, just so you know.
Okay. Thank you very much.
So who would you like to bring?
I mean, personally, I'd probably want to go with Andrew Weatherall, but I think for the good of the, I think that might just be only for me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So I think for the purpose of an actual dinner party, it might just be me sat there, like listening to this guy, like an oracle going, oh my God, this guy. But, so it would be between, I think I might go for David Brent actually.
Brilliant. Do you know, I'm hoping you'd say that, because it would have been awful for you to go, I want Andrew Weatherall, and me to go, I'm going to choose Brent.
Is that Brent is who you were going to go for?
I think you're right. And as much as I would love, if it was a different podcast, you know, and this was sort of a Desert Island Discs thing, and it was who you get to meet and spend 24 hours with, I'd give you Andrew Weatherall. But for the fact that we're building a dinner party and for the entertainment, I think you and I would be ridiculously giddy to have spent a night with David Brent.
And I just imagine he would really sort of like put his heart and soul into it. You know what I mean? He'd want, he'd turn up with the goods, wouldn't he? Like,
yeah. Well, the fact that he knows he's been chosen and all these greats are around him, you know, so far we've got Chaplin there. He would be, he would just be on top form. It would be phenomenal. Yeah. I mean, what a night. Wicked. Can't wait.
Amazing. Looking forward to it.
Right, mate, thanks for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me. Sorry if I waffled on a bit there, but
oh no, mate, I loved it. I should do the shout out for your podcast with Walsh.
Oh yes,
who's, we just, although he just did the last one, so We spoke about that on there, but you've got the podcast, What's Upset You Now?
Yeah. Yes. Which
is... It's brilliant.
Oh, thank you. Yeah,
it's so funny. Do you think you'll take some of it to use as stand-up?
I think, like, yes, there's definitely loads of stuff in there that could be converted into routines with great ease. But I think that the hope is that we will be able to sort of do a live show of it.
Yeah, you know, just 15 minutes.
Well, I don't know about
thanks for coming. Though,
obviously, yeah, for anyone that hasn't listened to it, which let's just assume is. In the unlikely event there's still anyone out there who hasn't heard it. But yeah, it's they're all episodes of 15 minutes long and they are timed. It's sort of like when it gets
a bell goes,
that is the end. Yeah. But I think, you know, we would sort of expand that. But I think, you know, further down the road, there's the potential for me and Sean to do a tour where we do a bit of stand-up at the beginning and then do like a 45-minute version of that afterwards where people in the audience
lovely
throw in suggestions. So I can see that happening quite easily. So
that's, yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're working towards.
There we go. That was Paul. I hope you enjoyed it and I hope you agreed with the selection. I guess that's another reason for people to write in, actually. If you don't agree with who I've chosen, then let me know. Email guestlistwithjake@gmail.com. Please rate the podcast, subscribe, review, and tell your friends, retweet, do whatever you like. But if it's one of those things. And thanks again for listening, and I will be back next Tuesday. Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.